Okay, this is the start of the voice message. I'm going to slowly, not slowly, but I'm going to regularly walk from the door of Outstanding to downstairs where the garage is to where you park Bill. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about something that has been on my mind for the past couple of days, and it's actively following up with prospects and leads. So the other day, I went to a meetup for people that were, you know, in the space, and I met some really, really great people. They were influencers. I told them about influencer funnels and how we build physical products and digital products, and they were all really, really, really interested. So interested that they gave me their contact information, and they told me to set up a call. So there's a couple people that, you know, are really, really good fits. They already have customers. They're on platforms like, I forget the name of it. But they're on platforms where people, well, they already have a platform for getting customers' names. And it's just a matter of, like, going in there, making a couple tweaks, and you know, essentially just making those little tweaks where that they can ascend their customers higher, or get them to buy more, or gain new customers, or whatever it is. So that's that. That's been on my mind for a while, and the way I'm going to overcome it is by just following up. It's about as simple as that. Sometimes we overcomplicate shit too much, and I plan to not let that happen. So now I'm here at the car. I will talk to you guys later. So this is me getting out of the car and walking regularly back to the Outstanding office. So I'm having a pretty good day today. One of the biggest things that I'm seeing, I'm having some trouble establishing, is the... Hold on, I gotta put in the code. No problem, man. Is actually finding a programmer who can has the sensibility of knowing when I have an issue that they can go and find the answer, even if it's not the language that they necessarily understand. So the way I will overcome that is to try to speak in their language. Because for a lot of people, they find that the techno babble and all that other stuff could become very troublesome. And it's one of the things that holds people back. And that's going to be how I overcome and kind of, you know, get somebody on my side who is very knowledgeable in a certain thing that I need them to be. So I'm almost at the Outstanding door. It's just a regular, nice little walk from the Outstanding door. I mean, from the garage to the Outstanding door. This has been a pretty good, it's been a pretty good talk. And I'm glad that now I know how much time elapses when they actually get onto the thing. What can we learn from Sears going out of business? That's the intro theme song. Okay. So what can we learn from Sears going out of business? Well, one of the things for sure is that retail sales are down. And by retail, I mean in-store traffic type retail sales are down, and they have been going down for years. Now, the reason for this is, of course, the internet. Right, it's allowed us to shop online, get personal recommendations online. I mean, H&M, for one, has been able to compete ridiculously with these huge brands using fast fashion techniques. And every single week, there's new shirts, there's new sweaters, there's new blouses, there's new everything. And that's something that Sears, even with its huge scale of having so many stores, wasn't able to compete with. So I want to give you a quick kind of, I want to give you something quick because this episode is meant to be quick. Sears probably thought to itself, well, we can't be beaten. We have so many stores, right? And that's the thing. When you get big enough, you get to a point where you think that you have to stop innovating. You think that you have to stop, you know, not necessarily that you have to stop innovating. Of course, that you always have to stay ahead of the curve. But, you know, when you have massive scale, it actually becomes harder for you to stay ahead of the curve and keep the advantage and things like that, because you have to adapt across so many different levels. And so, for example, like, it was easier for H&M to scale because they had higher traffic on their stores, and by traffic I mean website traffic on their stores, and they were able to convert that better with less in-person stores, rather than Sears, who had less of a website traffic and more of foot traffic. So I feel like this is a lesson, you know. Sears declaring bankruptcy is not only a sign that, yeah, of course, Amazon is killing off these huge, ridiculously huge retail brands. And if you look at the numbers, Amazon does hundreds of billions in market growth, whereas all of these companies combined, all of these other retail companies, these legacy brands like Sears, do hundreds of millions combined all together. And we're talking about like 10 plus companies, whereas Amazon just does it in a single one by itself, and it's monstrous. So, I mean, who's really winning the game? Amazon. Is it over? No, absolutely not. They have the competitive advantage right now. They have capitalized incredibly well. Amazon, number one, has almost number one in every single industry. If we're talking about software, in regards to Amazon AWS is huge. It's actually number one past Google. How is the book company number one past Google, in regards to online infrastructure and that industry? And then we have entertainment. It's actually number two behind Netflix, which is, Netflix obviously makes sense because it's an entertainment industry, but they have been pouring billions of dollars into growing and growing and growing that industry, and they're doing really quite well. One of their shows actually just won an Emmy. So, you know, they're really getting to a point where, like, they're making actual quality content. And as well as all of that, you know, the biggest thing that's allowed them to kind of push past everybody else is their ability and their choice, essentially, to grow Amazon AWS, which is the online infrastructure section of Amazon. They've allowed to grow that, and that was an integral part of their growth strategy years ago. That's allowed them to push forward and essentially be like the top dog in not just online retail, not just entertainment, but also in like the hosting of websites in general. And that's huge, huge business. So I think that mixed with, you know, their ability to have third-party sellers on their actual Amazon FBA program, and their FBA program itself was super, super smart. So, you know, it's all about optimizing. It's all about keeping the competitive advantage any way you can. It's about delivering a spectacular performance to the end consumer. You know, the end consumer wants an incredible user experience, and I think Amazon gives it that. Sears doesn't, you know, because even in store, it starts to get all over the place. And, you know, the thing about Amazon is that, like, when you have third-party sellers from all over the world who can make money on your platform and sell products to the end consumers at a reasonable rate, and obviously, of course, have it fulfilled 2 days, then you start to have a conversation where Sears isn't necessarily one of those brands where Sears is one of those brands where you can go in and you can start selling in their stores and things like that. You have to be a legacy brand. You have to be one of those brands like Gucci and Prada and all of these other and all of these incredible brands. But the thing about it is that, like, you know, it's
there's such a high barrier to entry when actually working with Macy's that, you know, it's not necessarily worth it to these third-party sellers, whereas, like, I could go in, source products directly from the suppliers, and then from there, you know, cut a profit, deliver a great user experience, and things like that. Now, a counter-argument to that is, oh, who are these third-party sellers? You know, how can we guarantee that we're creating a good user experience? And, you know, how can we prioritize them over these legacy brands like Gucci and Prada and all these things that sell in Sears? Well, the thing is that you don't have to be Gucci and Prada and all of these legacy brands in order to create a good customer experience, especially when it comes to lower ticket products. You know, not everybody's buying $200 purses or $500, you know, sweaters or whatever it may be with these legacy brands. You know, not everybody's looking to ball out. Some people just like to get their hand drill very quickly. You know, some people just like to get their tire pressure reader quickly. And so, you know, I think it's a matter of context. I think it's a matter of understanding, you know, where people are at and how people can do better. But I think the big thing to learn about Sears shutting down, well, not shutting down, but going bankrupt, is competitive advantage. You know, there's no such thing as being too big and having too much, you know, in regards to online retail, who's changing consistently. I mean, if we talk about banking, then, you know, we're having a different conversation completely. But absolutely, I think it was an integral part of Amazon's success to do all the strategic moves that it did, even down to the small detail of having the one-click buy option on their e-commerce. I think that was huge, and it was something that they patented for a long time before other e-commerce stores started to do it. But it was a frictionless customer experience. It allowed people to buy things immediately, which had a huge competitive advantage. And so I think that's it. I think that there's just a lot to learn. I think that it'll still live on. You know, I don't see it going away like as easily as Toys R Us, where they're all shutting down. I think there is going to be at least a couple. You know, but I could be wrong, absolutely. I think this is the inflection point in the market where we're starting to realize that, like, oh, this shit is serious. You know, I think a lot of these, are going to start to see that, you know, Amazon, the older folks who might have not, you know, kept themselves in the know for a while, they're going to start to see that a lot of these brands, a lot of their legacy brands are actually dying out. They're actually not as profitable as they once were. They're not as popular as they once were. They still have the brand name, the brand recognition. But for the most part, they're dying breeds because a lot of these new e-commerce stores like H&M and ASOS and Amazon are just coming through, disrupting the way that consumers purchase and their purchasing behavior, and really, really changing it for the better. And so, you know, I think there's a lot to learn. And I, for one, am glad that the market is kind of shifting towards this new e-commerce, not necessarily towards e-commerce because it's been around for a while, but like that it's kind of shifting towards this very online user experience kind of thing. And, you know, the in-stores are going to be a lot of the future of, you know, novelty. You know, going in-store is going to be an experience rather than like a necessity, because, you know, now anything you can get online. And it was the decision that Steve Jobs made a long time ago when everybody was zigging, he was zagging, and he decided to put billions of dollars into stores, which was at the time a really weird thing to do. But, you know, it's paid off for now, because now these Apple stores are essentially temples to Apple's culture. So I feel like in-store experience are now going to be more experiential. I've been saying that for years, that it's going to be a lot about the experience of going in the store and buying and things of that nature, rather than having to go into the store because you have to get into the store because you have to buy it. I mean, anything can be bought online now, but that's that. So, you know, there's a lot of opinions here, of course. I mean, I kind of go all over the place when I talk. That's no surprise. But yeah, you know, I think that Sears going bankrupt is a really, really interesting thing in the market right now. I think it's everybody's talking about it, and for good reason, because, you know, they deserve it. That's my outro music, because I don't have outro music yet.